Okay, we're going to begin lesson number 6 in Bible prophecy. And as we have been mentioning, there's a lot of things that as we march towards finding America in prophecy, some of the things that we feel like a person needs to understand before we just throw that theory out here is to understand the foundational pieces that go with it. And so what we've mentioned in the prior 5 lessons is we've mentioned that to understand end time prophecy, we need to identify the following players in prophecy: the great whore, mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. We've done that. The seat where the woman sits, we've done that. Identify the beast with the 7 heads, we've done that. And then the beast that was, yet is, and is not, we've done that in prior lessons. And then, of course, the deadly head wound and what beast that is applied to, and we did that in our prior lesson. And then we see where there's only going to be 6 ruling kingdoms, of which out of the 6th, a 7th will be the 6th restored. And then out of the 7th will come forth the 8th ruling kingdom, which will be the kingdom of the Antichrist. And today we're going to see about that 7-headed beast that had 10 horns that the woman rides. We will mention the horns. I think we've already identified the horns somewhat. And then today we're going to look at what is amazing to Daniel about 700 years before John writes the book of Revelations, is that amidst these 10 horns comes forth a little horn, which is another terminology for the man of sin or the Antichrist. And then we're going to identify the fall of Babylon the Great, the mark of the beast, the image of the beast, a world government beast system. And then once we identify all these players and their territories, we will put forth a timetable and we'll begin to put in what we believe one of our theories is as to how all this will unfold. And this timeline will allow us to understand a tribulation that is not the great tribulation that leads to a rapture in 7 years, the time of Jacob's trouble, the battle of Gog and Magog, the return of the 2 witnesses, the 144,000 sealed, the battle of Armageddon, and then the final battle in the battle of Jehoshaphat and the return of Christ and his army. So in lesson 6, which we're in, now that we've identified some of these players, I want to read Revelation chapter 17. We're going to go in verse number 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. So these heads we have identified, and these beasts we have identified with total clarity, because the Bible itself identifies these beasts, 7-headed beasts, as nations or empires. And we've also identified the beast that came back to life after its head wound. Now, we mentioned to you about the United Nations of Europe. Really, a more proper way to refer to that biblically would be the revised Roman Empire. Because what we're going to see is in this final hour that there's actually going to be 10 ruling parties that come up in the old Roman and Grecian Empire restored. So it is not like exactly where Rome, the Roman Empire was, is the way the European nation sets today, but it is actually the revised Roman Empire. And another terminology I want to throw out to you is what we're looking at, and you need to parallel, is the fact that whenever we started this biblical journey on prophecy, we saw the first piece given to us where we started was the great dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And he saw the image with the head of gold, and then it ended with the feet of iron and clay, and there were 10 toes. And in the days of those 10 toes, in this dream, we saw the rock that was cut out of the mountain without hands, which represents the Mashiach, Messiah, come and crush this final 10-toed government. And I'm telling you that because the toes are transferred, the 10 of them, to this new vision of the beast into horns. So the toes and the horns, of which there are 10, are the same. And all they are simply signifying is the fact that should the Bible end up being totally correct, as it always has, that there will be 10 governing, major governing, ruling nations, so to speak, in this empire of the old Roman Empire revised. And so he says, verse 3, "And I saw one of its heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed." And we discussed that, how we have seen the Roman Empire went from Hail Caesar to Holy Father. It was kept alive all of this time through the Roman Church that sat on 7 hills. And now we see where the Roman Empire has come back to life, and we showed you the pictures of one of the statues outside the EU is a woman riding the beast, and we went through all that. So we now see that this beast lives again, which means We have now seen, next to Israel becoming a nation, probably one of the most significant things in my lifetime prophetically. And that is that this seventh head, or this empire of the seventh-headed beast in the book of Revelations now lives. So how close are we? Well, let's go on. So it's out of this seventh empire that the Antichrist is going to arise and set up his dominion. And out of this seventh empire is where we see the final empire that reigns and rules, which is the eighth, but it is from the seventh, which is from the sixth. So this eighth kingdom, which is from the seventh kingdom, is where the mandatory mark of the beast is implemented. Now, I'm going to share some things with you, once again, they are my opinions. I believe that, this is a brash statement, the Antichrist and the mark of the beast is highly overrated. Number one, the Antichrist is not going to rule the world. Number two, the mark of the beast is not going to be worldwide. And as you study Bible prophecy, you will see this very clearly. The mark of the beast doesn't even come about until the eighth kingdom, and then not till the middle of the week. If you're here to see the mark of the beast, you didn't make the rapture of the church. And if it was worldwide, then he wouldn't have armies coming against him. And nations come against him. He is going to reign and rule over his domain, which will be Israel and the Roman Grecian Empire restored. And his theme and his theory as Hitler is for world dominance, but he never receives that. So let's go on. So we've also identified the 10 horns that are affixed to the head of the beast, or the 10 powers, so to speak. And so now we can recognize where the Antichrist comes from. Now, you need to understand that you can be an Antichrist. I can be an Antichrist. And we'll explain that here in a little bit. So what we're doing is we're taking, it's just like someone said, the apple that Eve took a bite of. Well, when you study your Bible, you know it wasn't ever an apple that Eve ate of. We learn a lot of things, and we perpetuate traditions of men because we lack going to the Word to see what it actually is teaching. So that's what we're trying to do, and we're going real slow as we lay this foundation. So we identified the 10 horns. Let's go on. Revelation 17, verses 12 through 18. And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, now remember, which have received no kingdom yet, but they receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Now, I think one of the things that, there is a theory, and it has some validity to it, that when I say this to you, you're just going to go, wow, no way. There's one theory that could have some validity to it, that Prince Charles's sons could align for some of this. Say, well, they're such sweet guys. That's exactly how the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. Because the Antichrist is not the devil incarnate. That's never what the Bible teaches. The Antichrist is able to be slain. The Antichrist is just someone that's taken over by the will of the dragon. There's a difference between the dragon and the Antichrist. And it's someone that perpetuates all the theme. Let me get on. So what I want us to see is now these 10 horns that are 10 ruling governors, so to speak, over governing bodies, they will come about before the Antichrist comes forth. And therefore, they will raise up a leader to unify them, and where they will again give their allegiance to this man. They will do this willingly because they will see the need for it. Now, I'm going to throw out some of my opinions this morning. I believe the reason they'll do that is because the things that will be happening in the earth so quickly, there will not be time for them to call congressional meetings. We all know how long that takes. And you've got to remember, we're going to be in the middle of a time of trouble like the world has never seen. And if modern Babylon is taken out, then you pretty much just have Israel and these United Nations of Europe that are now standing against the Muslim horde and the Russians. And then we've got China to deal with, which is who the Bible's talking about. So there's a purpose for all these things. But time-wise, we need to understand, the Bible very clearly lets us understand, that these 10 horns are 10 rulers, and then the beast will come forth and whom they will hand over their voting privileges to, so to speak. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, faithful. And he said unto me, the water that you saw where the whore sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which you saw upon the beast, these will hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now that you understand who the whore is, it is the false religious system that will unify the world, of which the false prophet will come out of. He will be the false Elijah, and he will point to the Antichrist and say, this is the Mashiach, this is the Messiah. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. But once the Antichrist declares himself God, then he and these 10 nations turn around and it's an anti-God system, and they then make war against even the false religious system and anyone that declares anyone other than the Antichrist as supreme potentate. Hail Caesar again. You are Lord. And the woman which thou saw is the great city which reigns over the kings. Of course, we've identified this as being Rome. So we want to look at this Antichrist. Antichrist just simply means, the word means adversary or opposer of the Mashiach, opposer of the Messiah. So the closing books of the Bible warn and also assure us that there is an Antichrist as far as a person, the embodiment of evil, so to speak, that is going to appear on the scene. And this word Antichrist is used 4 times only in the Scripture, and each time the word Antichrist is used, it probably will amaze you, it's never used in the book of Revelation, it's never used in the book of Daniel. It's only used 1 time. That's whenever John is speaking to you and I. So once again, you're going to understand that a lot of us traditionally have things that maybe, as we look at the Word, a lot of things we've read books or we've heard, it may change your view when you scripturally begin to identify things. So let's look at a couple of places where the word Antichrist can be used or is used out of the 4. Now, once again, I mentioned that you and I could be an Antichrist because anyone can be an Antichrist. There's many Antichrists in the world today, and have been ever since the Christ came forth. Because it's just someone that opposes Christ, opposes the Messiah. But yet, there is someone coming forth that will be the man of sin, the little horn, the Antichrist. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, and every spirit, 1 John 4 and 3, that confesses not that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Wherefore you have heard that it should come, and even now it is already in the world. I think that you can look at America and what we're going through right now, and you're seeing the spirit of the Antichrist at work. And some people have come up with the current president may be the Antichrist. He's definitely of the spirit of the Antichrist. And definitely what's going on is of the spirit of the Antichrist in America right now. There's no way anyone that has eyes to see can deny that. We are against the Christ. And so the spirit of the Antichrist, and so when you see subtle images of the people say, hey, this is 666, or this means that, and you say, what's that mean, Pastor? It's just road signs. It's just God saying, hey, we're approaching the season. But if you want to know who the Antichrist is, stay in your Bible. If you want to know how it's going to unfold, if it doesn't align with Scripture, it doesn't matter how good it sounds. So we are arming ourselves with fundamental, foundational Scriptures. Now let's look at a verse out of these 4. There's only one. Let's look at a verse that uses the term Antichrist that actually refers to the person whom we consider and call, rightfully so, the Antichrist. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's pretty much an Antichrist right there. I want you to notice in verse 3 where it says, except there come a calling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I side with the group that do not interpret the original from your King James, that it interpreted a falling away, but it actually says there shall come a great departure, which is the resurrection and the rapture of the dead. The rapture of the church. And you can do the word study for yourself. This isn't us twisting Scripture. There's several scholars that are in agreement with this. And the way I see it, it'll work either way. We've seen a great falling away from the faith. But when you put it into the timeline that we see, that I see the Scriptures aligning and how the rapture happens, the man of sin won't be revealed until the church is taken out of the way, which is why I believe this word, the great departure, the great departure, the great catching away, is the correct rendition of the translation. And then, in my opinion, if you knew who the Antichrist was, you'd be telling everybody you could, and there wouldn't be any deception. So what I'm trying to bring to you is I came into this knowledge 15, 18, 20 years ago. With what you're about to learn in this Bible prophecy thing, then you're going to find out we probably aren't going to see the third temple built. We're not going to see the mark of the beast. We're not going to know the Antichrist. So when you understand all these things that we've written all these books and prepared ourselves to get ready for, that lets you know how close the coming of the Lord is, because in my opinion, these things all happen in the 7-year final period of time after the catching away of the church. And so we can see right now how things are totally aligned. Let me move on. All right, so try to get through this. So in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and as you've heard, that the Antichrist shall come. Even now know there's many Antichrists whereby we know it is the last time. So 1 John chapter 2, 18. Now, another name that I want to catch is the Antichrist is called the little horn. And of course, we recognize out of those 10 horns comes forth a world leader. Notice he's the little horn. He's not someone that's overwhelmingly, you look at and say, oh, that has to be the Antichrist. Okay. After this, I'm in Daniel chapter 7. So we've just transgressed 700 years back to the book of Daniel. 700 years before the scriptures we just read out of the book of Revelations in the New Testament. 2,700 years ago, roughly from today. And let's read. And so here's Daniel in chapter 7. He's having a night vision. And behold, he sees a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. He has great iron teeth. Well, immediately, the iron speaks of that final sixth kingdom, the legs of iron. So everything will formulate and tie back into that great image that Nebuchadnezzar has a dream of, with the head of gold, the chest of silver, the loins of brass, the legs of iron. And so he sees this thing. It has great iron teeth. It devours and breaks in pieces and stamps the residue with the feet of it. And it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, once again, we remember that the 10 toes on the great image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, we also remember they were made of iron. So God is adding to what it is Daniel had been given by God to interpret for Nebuchadnezzar. And so now Daniel, in this separate portion of time after the vision and the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, this is Daniel's own vision at night, he says, "And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things." And I need to make this statement for all that are listening. I could take time to, everyone in this class knows that what I believe is the Bible is an eternal book, and that it has a meaning for then, for now, and a million years from now. They are snapshots that God has chosen to, that throughout history, He will allow things to align with these pictures. I said that to say this. I am not in this, it'll save us 15 lessons. I'm not going to go into the history of what took place with Alexander the Great, the Grecian Empire, so on and so forth, and the 70 weeks of Daniel, because that would belabor this teaching. But I do want to say this to you. If someone with some Bible knowledge says to you, oh, all that stuff's been fulfilled, they are correct. But it's to be fulfilled, and we're going to show you that here in just a moment. So when he looks at this horn, and where three of the first horns are plucked up by the roots, and in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and the mouth speaking great things. Don't let me throw you off that statement I've just made. I can do that with most of the Old Testament. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Here's what I'm wanting to give you. So what we're seeing is, but this portion, even though it would fit back what the generals of the Grecians and the Romans did, it had no tie the way God now ties it with this next scripture, because Christ hasn't returned for the second time. So Daniel is seeing the end of time, and this little horn is raised up at the very end of time. And he says, "And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as the burning fire." Now I want you to notice that in the days of these horns, the Lord shall return. We're going to continue on in Daniel, verse 10. "And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered to him, 10,000 times 10,000. The judgment was set, the books are open." And then, once again, here's Daniel tying this in, this return of the Messiah, setting up his kingdom with the time of the little horn. And this obviously has not come to pass. So, and I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. And I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body was destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Verse 13. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all the people, nations, and languages will serve him. And it goes on to say, and his kingdom will never be destroyed and never pass away. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the vision of my head troubled me, and I came near unto one of them that stood by, one of the angelic beings or one of the hosts of heaven. And he asked me, he said, give me the truth of all this. So he told me, and he made me know the interpretation of the thing. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. For then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. Now, we need to make this tie, if you're someone that ties Daniel and Revelations together. So we've got a four-headed beast that Daniel is being shown 700 years before the book of Revelations is written. But yet this fourth head is the same empire as the seventh head and the seven-headed beast that John sees on the Isle of Patmos. And we'll reconcile this as thus. The fourth beast of Daniel, in his day, he was living in the day of the Babylonians. And God says this fourth beast that will come forth is diverse from all the first. It's going to be more vicious, so on and so forth. Then to come would be the Medo-Persians, and then the Greeks, and then the Roman Empire. And so what Daniel was seeing on these 10 horns on this fourth beast was the revised Roman Empire, which is the seventh head on the seven-headed beast in the book of Revelations. Because when we look at what John the Revelator is writing, there were two prior beasts to the four-headed beast, and that is, we had the Egyptians and the Assyrians, and I won't walk back through all that. So that's how you reconcile it. And therefore, the sixth and the seventh beast in Revelations are the same as the fourth beast in Daniel, and it's speaking of the revised Roman Empire. Verse 20, so Daniel goes on. He says, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before him 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. Interesting study, stout. I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days comes and judgment is given to the saints of the Most High, and there comes the saints who possess the kingdom. And thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth, and it shall tread down in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. Another shall arise after them. He will be diverse from the first. He will subdue 3 of the kings, and he will speak great words against the Most High. He will wear out the saints of the Most High. He will think to change times and laws, and they will be given into his hand until a time and times, dividing of times, 3.5 years. And the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of his kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So what we have seen is the amazing accuracy with which the Bible, there's no other manual like it, only our Bible, that would even begin to prophesy nations and names of nations, but much less ruling empires, until the Antichrist would appear and then the true Christ would appear. I also want you to notice the Antichrist only rules and reigns for 3.5 years. And it is after he goes in the middle of the week. So all of you that are wasting your time trying to figure out who the Antichrist is, you're wasting your time. There's many that will appear before him, because there are many antichrists at work in the world already. But the Antichrist himself, in my opinion, if you make the rapture of the church, we might get a couple of week glimpse at him. But boy, when you know who he is, we're gone. If we get that chance. I don't think we will. Daniel 9:27. And then here's where we come up with Daniel's 70th week, which is that seven-year-long period, that 1 week of time. And he shall confirm the covenant, speaking of the little horn, he shall confirm the covenant for 1 week, 7 years. And in the middle of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So we see when the Antichrist enters into this arms treaty, this protection treaty with Israel, that obviously he gives them the right to begin sacrifices again. Those of you that understand Judaism, that can only be done on the Temple Mount, which today is where a Muslim dome sits. But he's going to now, in the middle of the week, cause this to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So in other words, what we're seeing here is this is what Jesus refers to in Matthew 24, is in the middle of the week, the abomination of desolation. My opinion is the only reason that he has not gone into the temple yet is because it will not be rebuilt until about the middle of the week. Probably take about 3.5 years for them to rebuild it. And so what we see is we see that as he is allowing it to be rebuilt, they can still do sacrifices because they still, the altar is outside where the temple is. And so that will be biblical, halakha, they will be able to do that, kosher, so to speak. Let's jump back to Revelations and we'll bring this to a close. So in Revelations chapter 19 and 20, did I read Matthew 24, 15? Jesus says, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him have understanding." Then he tells him, "Flee to the hills." Why? Because now he and his 10 kings are going to come against even not only the false religious system, but obviously all that come into faith of Yeshua the Messiah, where you will be slain for that name's sake. All right, so let's jump back to Revelations chapter 19, and we're just kind of taken up where 700 years prior, Daniel was given his vision. So here's John the Revelator, verse 20. "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake that fire with burnt brimstone." Now, we don't have a mark of the beast, and we don't have people worshiping the beast until he goes in and he does his act of abomination of desolation. The mark and the image of the beast means you have pledged allegiance to this eighth kingdom. And the way he controls is, what does he do? He has a mark, which much you might buy or sell. So, Pastor, what do you think about them implanting chips in people? I don't think it's the mark of the beast. The beast isn't here. His eighth kingdom's not here. It's, you know, if I wanted to be radical, I'd say, "Oh, man, if you've got a credit card in your pocket, you're probably going to hell. That's the mark of the beast." You know, and I'm not saying take a plastic chip implant. I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to express I do not believe that's the mark of the beast at this time, because the beast system doesn't come about until you make allegiance to it, and you must have his mark to buy or sell. It is a total allegiance to him. It's not worldwide. It's over the portion that he has dominion over. They tell me that Europe is way ahead of us right now in electronic currency. Is that true? Anybody? You can check on that. I can't substantiate that. I haven't done a check on it. Okay, so in Daniel chapter 3, verse 1 through 10, Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, this is what I want to close with. I think that as we can already see that we are living in very interesting times in this country. Someone posted something where, you know, we impeached Nixon because he bugged a room called Watergate, and over him bugging one room, he gets impeached. We now have a president that has bugged the whole United States and other countries, that has gone against your will, has gone against the Constitution, has signed into law a new medical system for the United States. We now see where we have a man that will not declare war, because if he declares war, then he has to go through congressional conferences in order to do what he does. And we see a person that already in this country we're seeing great changes. Now, I said that to say this. I bet you most of you in this room wear a seatbelt, and I'll bet the majority of you gray-haired ones that sit in this room didn't wear a seatbelt until the law was passed. Right. I'm just making a statement. Because what you need to understand is, if we understand our Bible correctly, the God of this world's whole plan is to get his hands on the laws. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a case for that. It's the same book of prophecy. We're going to go back to Daniel chapter 3. This is a pretty interesting read because, in my opinion, it's a picture of what shall come. It's a 666 image that he sets up. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 3 score cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent and gathered together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Isn't it interesting that God, out of the few words, whenever we have a history of the universe and the world to come, would waste all this verbiage to say the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and then tell us to come to a dedication of an image? And those of you that have studied ahead, you already know that this is exactly what the Antichrist does. We have an image of the beast that we are to fall down and worship. That's already been done. Now, not in the prophecy we're looking to, but if you want to know what's going to happen, people's opinions are awesome. I'm giving you an opinion. But if it's not based on a fundamental foundational snapshot that you can point to in the past scriptural text, then you probably may not have a correct opinion. So let's look at this. So then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together into the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, people, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever doesn't fall down and worships this image, the same hour will be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." So Satan's desire is to write the laws, and this is a picture of the Antichrist kingdom. What has been shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. I mean, it's amazing because the Antichrist is going to destroy those that don't worship him by fire. And what is so unbelievable, I don't believe that it's like he speaks and out of his mouth comes fire. I believe we may have some descriptive terms that would appear like that. But folks, right now, with satellites, with drones, if you've got a chip and your number's in the system, it wouldn't be hard to take you out with a fireball at all, would it? And so I'm not saying that's the way it'll be. I'm just pointing out the technology we live in now is so impressive, we're not even impressed by it anymore. We think nothing about having a cell phone and pulling up a picture and a video and walking down the road and we're watching stuff happen in other countries and across. Doesn't mean anything to us anymore. So anyway, the point being that as you look at the snapshot of what Nebuchadnezzar did, it's exactly what the Antichrist is going to do. And how was Nebuchadnezzar able to do this and enforce it? Because he had the law on his side. You don't realize as we are giving up freedoms and as we are giving up certain things, when something's written into law, you're going to have a hard time standing against that. Most of you wear a seatbelt today, whether you think it's right or wrong. I think it's right, but anyway. So in Revelation 13, I may have time to get through this. In Revelation chapter 13, we're going to try to get through 18 verses. "And I stood on the sand of the sea." So now we're jumping back 700 years ahead after Daniel is written. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea." We know what a beast is. Has 7 heads. We get it. John's seeing the 7 kingdoms. It's got 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. It's upon his head the name of blasphemy. Because this final 7-headed beast that's going to produce 10 horns. Remember, the Antichrist hadn't come on the scene. Because when he comes on the scene, he sets up the 8th, which is of the 7th, and he's the little horn. So what we're watching going on right now in the revised Roman Empire is we're going to see a 10-league confederation. Now, it may be made up of 30 different nations, but we're going to see 10 blocks divided up to where we have 10 rulers, so to speak. "And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority." I should walk through this, but basically, it's going to happen so quickly. The leopard represents speed. The bear represents force and strength. And his mouth, he's king. And the dragon, Satan, is his ruler. And his seat and his great authority. They will pass forth laws that will break this all to come about in their kingdom. And I saw one of its heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. We've discussed this. All the world wandered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who's like to the beast? Who is able to make war with him? How are you going to fight somebody that can call down fire and destroy you from heaven? And he opened his mouth in blasphemy to God, and blasphemed his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man has an ear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity shall go into... In other words, this man of sin that leads people into captivity, he's going to be thrown into the pit. And he that's killing you with the sword, he's going to be slain also. Here is the patient... Here is the patient and faith of the saints. And then I beheld another beast come up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now this isn't like some supernatural thing where he comes up out of the center of the earth. This is just the leader of the religious system. He speaks like a lamb, but he is the false prophet that will align and point to the Antichrist. Say, this is him. This is Messiah. And he exercises all the power of the first beast, and he causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of miracles, which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now, here's John and... You know, the image of the beast, we've got the lying wonder in every home. Most of you in this room are programmed, as myself, by what we watch on television. If you will turn your TV off for 30 days, your life will change. If you'll quit watching the news for a week, you'll have a bigger smile on your face than you have now. For someone to continually tell you everything that's wrong with this country, but we don't do one thing about it, causes inner frustration. That has nothing to do with the book of Revelations. What I'm wanting to bring to you is the fact that this image very well is the electronic imagery that we look at in television today. This was written 2,000 years ago, man. They had no idea what an electric light bulb was. Fastest they'd ever traveled was about 13 miles an hour on a horse. Maybe that's if they had it galloping, you know, and running. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So this Antichrist ruling system does not come about, in my opinion, till the middle of the week, which is the final three. Remember, the first 3.5 years, he's the man of peace. But he comes about the final 3.5 years of the 7-year peace treaty that he will sign with Israel. I hope that this will cause you to study. And if you see something that you don't agree with and you've got scripture to share with me, I'll be glad to look at it. God bless. We'll start lesson 7 next week.